Welcome to the Property Nomads podcast. And here is your host, Rob Smallbone.
Welcome to the first episode in this mini series on successful people in property. This mini series is going to focus on different investors, different strategies, and also people that are successful in other property related areas, i.e. lettings agents, or as in the case of our special guest today, Jonathan Barker. Jonathan was a commercial surveyor for 6 years before launching Truffle. Now, Truffle is a new portal designed at providing property investment opportunities for not just UK-based property investors, but also international property investors. The portal went live in April 2018 and has been building up the number of agents on its list as well. It's an absolutely fantastic product and service that Jonathan Barker has co-founded. So enjoy this interview with Jonathan Barker. So welcome to another episode of the Property Nomads, and delighted today to be joined by Johnny Barker, who by trade is or was a commercial property surveyor, but has recently set up Truffle, that's spelled T-R-U-F-F-U-L-L. It's a portal specifically used for listing properties that are suitable for property investors and developers across the UK. It's got some fantastic features on it, and here to talk more about it is Johnny. Johnny, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rob. It's a pleasure being here.
Truffle, we'll go into different surveying bits and bobs and your previous experiences a bit later on, but tell us more about Truffle. What is Truffle?
Well, Truffle is a online property portal that's specifically for investors and developers. So obviously everyone's familiar with Rightmove and Zoopla, and of course On The Market, which launched a few years ago. But with Truffle, it is just specifically having properties that would appeal to investors and developers. So rather than looking at everything in the market, got a portal that's go-to for any prospective investors, developers. So again, it's anyone that's just starting out investing or developing property through to experienced investors and developers that looking to add to existing portfolios. So yeah, we've developed a portal that really sort of fulfills that gap and that need for investors and developers to actually, you know, go to them rather than looking through the entire market at options that might not be suitable.
So for people that are familiar with property investing and so forth, if you're down the residential route,
yeah,
they're going to be familiar with Rightmove and Zoopla.
Of course, yeah.
If you go down the commercial route, not as much, but they'll use probably specific commercial agents in their local area. So what gave you the idea of setting up Truffle in the first place?
Well, it's through my own personal experience as a developer. I developed a house in nearby Beverley, for those who are not familiar, just north of Hull. And I was actually developing my dad's house at the same time. He bought a house, funny enough, on the same street as me. So we sort of got into a bit of a developing bug, really. And I was looking on Rightmove and Zoopla, trying to find the next opportunity. I was getting frustrated, not be able to see anything that really was sort of ticking all the boxes. And I just sort of asked the question. I was like, why is there no portal, you know, for a developer, investor such as myself? And really just started looking and exploring the idea, and it's just sort of snowballed from there, really. And that was back in late 2016.
So the idea came about in late 2016. Truffle launched in 2018.
Yeah,
I mean, that's called 18 months of planning. There must have been a lot of effort going into the background of how you want the portal to look, etc., etc.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, during that time, I met my co-founder Alex Appleby through a mutual friend, and he really got to grips with the idea from day one. We actually did the same course at university, so he's had a bit of property experience and went on to different avenues and really enjoyed the property aspect, and just you could see that, you know, from when I was sort of talking about the idea, and he's got some website development experience, and so sort of throughout 2017 really developed the concept, also got like the logo sorted out, so we're trying to get everything in place, and once we were comfortable and happy with that, we got it launched in April of 2018.
How's it gone so far?
Yeah, it's, as I say, like with any business, it's obviously slow, but in terms of gaining momentum, we're getting our agents now across various aspects of the country, both commercial and residential, that really liking the idea and listing the properties. So yeah, I mean through regular sort of marketing and creating that awareness, not just for your investors and developers, but also for the agents as well, that really we can start showing that there is a good product here that you know agents can then list on. And it's not just, we're not trying to take over Rightmove or Zoopla. If anything, it's an additional portal for the agents. And as I said before, it's a go-to portal for your investors and developers.
Yeah, so from my experience, if I'm going through looking for residential property and so forth, the first thing that comes into my mind is Rightmove. It probably does for quite a large percentage of people listening.
Of course, yeah.
But commercial-wise, it's a different story, because to name a few, in Hull, for example, you've got Garners Jones,
yeah,
Scott's, PPH, NT3, and then you've got Clark Wakeman as well.
Yeah.
There's not really anything out there, a portal as such. Well, there wasn't until, obviously, you co-founded Truffle, which I think that's a great gap to see in the market and then take, advantage of that.
Mm.
But if I was an agent with residential properties, why would I look to team up with Truffle rather than, say, Rightmove on the market or Zoopla?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a good question, and certainly, I think one thing we're trying to sort of say is we're not looking to take away business from Rightmove and Zoopla. If anything, our portal is an original concept. So, and as you said, as an example, as an agent, what you want to be trying to do for your clients is expanding that exposure in the marketplace. So naturally, you probably would still list on Rightmove and Zoopla, but you'd be saying to your clients that actually we also list on Truffle as well. So that if you've got a particular buy-to-let opportunity, that it will be advertised on there as well as Rightmove and Zoopla, and hopefully your sort of particular buy-to-let investors would be able to go straight to Truffle and in any given location, and then be able to make the inquiries and make contact with you further.
So with Truffle and where it stands at the moment, is it predominantly UK based? Is it just UK based for now, and then maybe you're looking to expand internationally moving forward?
That would be a great goal. Certainly, I think that is definitely a few years off. The aim is certainly to make sure the product is UK wide. We've got certainly a good offering in Hull, hence Truffle being a Hull based company. But yeah, we're certainly looking to expand across all areas of the country. But also, it's not just for UK investors. Those that are abroad that are still looking to invest in the UK market, again, it's a portal that they can use as well. Make the inquiries with those agents that are advertising on there.
Yeah, I mean, having used, obviously, go and urge anyone yourself listening, go and check out www.truffull.co.uk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go and check out the website. One thing I found from having a browse on the website trying to find property is it's very, very user friendly. Now, was that in your co-partner's website and web developer by trade as well? Was that on the forefront of his mind when looking to utilise the setup on Truffle?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with any, but when you look at the three main portals, Rightmove, Zoopla on the market, they've all got very similar user familiarity, and that's certainly one thing we needed to make sure at the core, that when people do go on the website, that yes, it is an online property search portal. But I think as well, there's opportunities to provide new features that maybe haven't been seen on the other portals before, and hopefully increase the usability of the website, and hopefully that will entice more people to have regular use of the portal. Maybe if they don't inquire on a property straight away, that they come back a couple of days later, maybe look at that property or anything else, and maybe start a new search altogether. But hopefully they have the same user-friendly experience that they get each day. And again, it's not too dissimilar to the likes of Rightmove and Zoopla and on the market. But again, there's still more opportunities to further enhance the products and the service.
Yeah, I mean, property's industry, it's not exactly going to die or fall on its ass
isn't it, to be fair? There's always going to be property, there's going to be bumps.
Yeah, of course. And I think we've got, you know, as everyone, every day you switch onto the news, and Brexit seems to be the biggest issue. And whether that does have a knock-on effect, as you say, to the international investors and those that probably are, you know, listening from abroad right now. But I think we're still going to see the property market in terms of investors. You know, people are still going to invest and develop. Of course, like with any markets we've seen over the last you know, couple of decades, there's going to be dips, there's going to be upward trends. And that's exactly... It's still the same pattern for people, you know, buying property as an investment vehicle, or indeed, you know, to develop and, you know, add to their portfolios.
Yeah, people are always going to need property. People are always going to want to buy property, depending on the, you know, the cycle, how well that's doing. So yeah, you know, it's a fairly, probably pardon the pun, but it's a fairly solid industry in terms of what's going on. You mentioned new or different features of Truffle either has at the moment or may look to bring in. Can you give some examples of what you're looking into?
Yeah, I mean, one particular thing we are going to look to, and again, that will happen over the next few months once we further enhance the current version, maybe the ability to actually compare investments. So before you make the inquiries with the agents, you can look at sort of maybe three or four options and look at them sort of yield, the price, location, and give a sort of some summary on each property. So you as a potential investor looking in any given area, you can compare those possible options and either maybe discount them or think, yeah, I'm going to inquire further with the agent. And that's something not really seen on other portals. Probably a bit like if you were searching for a brand new car on a website. They're quite good in terms of you can look at comparing different models on specs and everything. And that's an idea that I thought, well, yeah, we definitely want to look to bring that in, because I think as a possible investor, and certainly from my own experience, I think having a good look at the sort of summary and seeing which investment is better or certainly to your requirements, I think is great. And then you can actually, you know, go make contact with the agent if you so wish.
Yeah, and having knowledge of an area as well is obviously very important, because if you've got, I don't know, the four potential development opportunities in Doncaster. Yeah. Sorry, for, you know, if you're from the north and you listen to this, Doncaster. Then having knowledge on the area as well is going to be very, very important.
Yeah,
as well. But that's a fantastic idea. So to be able to have a quick look between 3, 4, 5, however many it is,
yeah,
and go, okay, well, the yield on that stands out. Let's have a look more. Let's have a more in-depth look at that.
That's certainly, a lot of agents they will provide quite a bit of information. Again, if it's a multi-let investment, there's going to be a lot of details on the tenant covenants and other things regarding the property. But if there's a way of actually just simplifying that, providing a summary on each property, and then you know, you either save that or make the inquiries you do however you want as the user. But it just gives a different angle to what, you know, is not really seen on the other portals at the moment.
Any other features or potential features of interest?
As I say, I mean, we're looking to hopefully, once we get sort of the research sort of data team up, we would like to provide users, particularly if, say you're you know, up in the north and you're looking to invest on, say, Birmingham, for example. You're not maybe familiar with Birmingham. I'm just using Birmingham as a rough example here. But say you don't know the area, someone's just said, oh, really get to, you know, you should look invest in Birmingham. Hopefully we can provide sort of reports and data that's been driven from sales and where the best sort of yields are, where the areas based on the data we've compiled of you know, those particular areas within Birmingham you should be investing. So hopefully it gives the user more insight, maybe greater confidence as well. So you think, yes, I'm a bit more aware that I should be, for example, investing in the north of Birmingham based on the data that's been provided in these sort of reports. And that's something we'd like to, you know, provide and certainly over the sort of major cities, and enroll that out in different areas. So it just be a case of downloading that report, and the potential investor developer can use that as they see fit.
It's always similar to something the Home Track do, so you can get quite detailed Home Track reports. Mm. So would you be looking to do something quite similar in terms of that and have maybe a bit more specific detail with regards to areas?
Of course, in that particular example, it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's just giving a different arm to the website and ultimately a bit more better information for the potential investor, developer who's perhaps looking in a different area that they've not really explored yet. So, yeah, absolutely, it's something we would certainly look to bring on board.
Anything like that's always very useful, especially from an investor, from your experience of developing as well, especially from an investor point of view. The more information you can have, the better, but to an extent, because you're just going to end up in analysis paralysis.
Yes,
and then you'll never get anything done, to be fair, which is not a good thing. In terms of how you've managed to grow the business thus far, sort of people are starting to buy properties every day, and people are looking to set up, they're buy-to-let buying or land developing or HMOs or so forth. So how have you managed to grow Truffle so far?
It's generally been organic, really. I think when we first started to talk about the idea, I think a lot of people either thought I was mad that I'm trying to possibly compete with Rightmove, who is one of the most successful businesses by far in the UK, or they just didn't really get the idea, just not really sort of seeing the same vision as what I've sort of seen. So it has been a bit of a tough battle so far, in terms of trying to get the idea into a visual concept, and that's why it took quite a bit of time during 2017 to get the portal looking as we want, but also actually getting the agents as well to be aware of the brand and what it is we're doing, and again, like always, in any sort of business, you're going to get people that don't see the idea on, no, it's not for them, but we generally have had quite a lot of positive feedback already, certainly from those agents that are listing, but also the prospective investors, developers that have actually started to use the site and found it quite useful, and obviously your comments have been greatly appreciated as well, Rob, so thank you for that.
No problem to our set as it is, if it was a bad user face or anything like that, I'll let you know, and I think feedback amongst anything's important. One of the things I always say is, any event in our life is objective, and the way that we react or how we take that is subjective. So if someone's going to give you, look at Truffle and go, Johnny, that's fantastic, I love how simple this is, great. If someone turns around and says, well, actually, I'm not too sure on this feature, you might need tweaking. Yeah, it's up to you to, interpret that however you want to, and then work with potential clients or already existing clients in order to keep improving, otherwise we'll all become stagnant or never get anything done.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting. In terms of moving Truffle forward, you've got a lot of organic growth at the moment. So for those that might not understand what organic growth is that involved attending networking events, business events? How have you?
Yeah, worked? Absolutely. Through my own network. As I say, it'd be great if you could easily just go to investors and say, right, we need X amount of money. Great, that's brilliant. And then launch it that way. So unfortunately, not in that position there to be so lucky. But in terms of just networking, raising awareness, even at various events and people just not even heard the idea. And so what's it about? It's a portal specifically for investors and developers, which agents are just listing these properties and like, oh yeah, I can see that, I understand, I get where you're coming from. Or people might say, yeah, I'm an investor, I can certainly see the benefit of using that, and that's really how it's grown today, really, and probably more so word of mouth is probably been the key driver. And of course, going into this year, we want to certainly accelerate that, and people across the UK, become more aware of it and actually see the benefits as well.
It's the same with growing Property Nomads podcast. Same thing. Get out there. Yeah. The more noise you can make, constructively or non-constructively, the more people you're going to get listening or subscribing, or telling people to tell their friends and so forth, to completely understand where you're coming from and that. How have you utilised, if you have utilised it, social media, have you found that to be quite a big game changer in what you're trying to do to keep pushing Truffle forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly with you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So as I say, it'd be good to after this podcast to get more followers. It certainly has helped significantly, and I think we've particularly on Twitter as well, we're getting a lot more people from overseas that have become aware of it. And whether that's purely because they're looking at the UK property market to invest, is maybe one thing, but it certainly has helped raise the profile. I think in these early stages, and of course, the next step will be once we look at investment and trying to build the brand even further, that will further accelerate and hit a much larger audience than it already has.
So you've already started to get. I'm just assuming you can possibly track this through the website and various from social media.
Yeah.
So you're already getting quite a lot of worldwide interest because it's a UK-based portal. And again, you know, given them, as we record, the magic B word you've mentioned, Brexit, which has weakened the pound, so it makes it more attractive for foreign investment. Mm. So it's good to know that people from around the world are already looking at what you're doing and what Truffle are doing and what they're trying to achieve as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. Before Truffle, you were a commercial surveyor.
That's right, yeah.
How long did you do that for?
I studied at Sheffield Hallam University, so I did commercial property there, and then started my career in Leeds. So I dealt with various aspects in commercial property, and then came back to my hometown area, being Hull, and dealt with commercial agency, probably across the Hull and East Riding region. So, and with that, I was involved in quite a few transactions in terms of investment and development disposals. So, that really sort of gave me the foundation, and having done a little small portfolio myself, gave me the sort of knowledge and understanding on both sides of the fence, which led me to develop Truffle. So, I've been doing it for a good 6 years or so before sort of looking at going into the new venture, which technically is within the prop tech sector as opposed to surveying. So a bit of a change from your day-to-day role as a surveyor.
Right, it's still property based.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is good. What got you into surveying in the first place then?
I think it was just I remember my dad's friend, he's a surveyor by trade, and I just happened to do a bit of work experience. I mean, I left sixth form, didn't think I was going to go to uni, probably didn't want to go to uni at the time, and he said, yeah, just come do a bit of work experience with me, see what you think. I was like, yeah, fine, not a problem. And I really enjoyed that every day was different. You weren't just sat in an office, you're actually going out, inspecting properties, meeting different people, and it was really... It was a good grasp of how life would be a surveyor. So, yeah, with that, I went to uni a year later, and then got my degree and carried on and went into the world of commercial surveying.
In terms of dealing with, when I say silly offers, I'm just going to say silly offers.
You're going to be careful here, right?
I have to be careful the way I word this, not to cheese off most people. How do I dance around this subject? In terms of managing the expectations then of landowners or people that own big buildings, in comparison to someone like myself or other investors that are putting in offers left, right, and centre, how did you go about doing that? Because again, I'm assuming that you must have had a lot of silly offers come in, and you look at it and go, here we go again.
Yeah,
and how do you put that towards the landowner and manage their expectations?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think of course, you have to be completely impartial, and certainly if any offers did come in, you'd have to report them to your client, however silly they may appear. And again, it's up to the client to really say yes or no. You give the advice and think, this particular person has put an offer on something previously, but it hasn't ever gone to fruition. So you do get those type of people, of course, probably in any game really. But I think keeping professional and treating everyone with respect, I think is definitely pivotal. You know, you can't really just sort of single out purely because someone might not have bought a property a few months ago off you, but happens to have put an offer which might seem a bit silly on this particular example, but the client accepts it and they've actually gone ahead and bought it. So, you know, you can't, I think you can't really, you know, sort of judge, or, you know, judge a book by its cover, you know, or certainly come to some assumptions too early on.
Did you find it a lot easier from an agent's perspective if someone was to put an offer in via email, for example, but then give a very detailed email of why it was X amount, rather than someone say, yeah, I'm going to give you X amount for this?
Yeah, I think it certainly helps your cause, especially when you're going back to your client and giving them the reasons. And in that particular case, if they've pre-thought out why they're getting this offer, then it certainly helps the fact that it probably be more genuine offer. And at least if a property's been on the market for some time and you've been trying to market it at this price, and then someone comes in with a silly offer, but they've actually justified that, it probably puts a better picture and understanding of where they're coming from, which then you can relay on to your client, and you know, hopefully they can sort of think and understand in the same way, and whether they accept it or not is then up to them.
So for anyone listening, when you get your offers in, if you can give as much detail as to why you offer them, why you've offered what you've offered, from an agent's point of view, that's really going to help them to put that forward, and you're going to have, but the more meat to the bones that you can add,
yeah, absolutely,
the better it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one size fits for all. You know, some people just say, I'm going to offer that, and again, you know, if they've dealt with you before, and certainly where I've dealt with people that we know have performed or got cash, then it's just a case, yeah, I'm going to offer that, okay, and if the client accepts, brilliant, we'll go, you know, proceed to terms and instruct solicitors. So yeah, I mean, it's no exact model, but I think it does help your cause, particularly if it is a popular property and there's maybe other people that can be putting bids. At least it shows how serious and committed you're going to be to that particular property.
In terms of pet hates from an agent's perspective, you've been as honest as you want with this. What are the things that you didn't enjoy about dealing with investors? You know, what property is a people business, as you've alluded to already. So are there things that you would look for in people from an agent's perspective, or are there pet hates that you have when, don't know, if you've got any examples, that'd be really useful for anyone looking.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe not so much in the type of people. I mean, you know, that's one thing where, you know, trying to maintain your professionalism, as I said earlier, I think it's more a case of the properties. I mean, if you've got something that is absolutely like a dog's dinner, and your client has just not done any work to it, and then you've got to be obviously quite open and honest and transparent, and you know, they may have a set figure in their mind, think, oh, it's going to be worth this because such and such down the road sold for that. It's not necessarily the case, and then you've got to sort of be quite frank. And you do get people that will say, oh yeah, we're going to sell it for that price, and then 12 months down the line, it's still on the market. I think where the company that I work for, we try to be very open and transparent, and at least it gives that sort of honesty. And maybe even say, look, if you tidy up this area, if you maybe look at spending this, it's going to appeal to, you know, to a better audience. And it's not just on selling; it's actually renting as well. Particularly, you know, with commercial property, a lot of the time it just sort of fits out. But I think it's trying to present your property in the best light as well, because, you know, if a tenant's going in, they might, you know, not really much been looked after here. I'm going to fit it out. Are they expecting me to keep up repairs with this? Which, you know, they are duty bound to, but it can put a lot of people off, and sometimes you do get clients that just think, oh, why am I probably not selling? Well, you need to actually spend a bit of money and do a bit of work, you know. So that probably the main pet hate I had when I was an agent and dealing with properties like that on a regular basis.
Was there any pet hates you had when you're dealing with investors, like people not following up with offers or people that are very rude?
I think it's the nature of the game, really. If I'm honest, you can't expect everyone to buy. But I think if you are putting sort of silly offers and you're repeating it, or you're going around viewings and you never hear back from them, and then 8 months down the line that they come back because they've seen another property, you would love to just say, no, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. But you do sort of get those people, and you just have to except that that's often the nature of the beast, really. But I think if as an investor, if you know you're sort of regularly in dialogue with these agents, saying, look, it's not for me. Thank you for showing me around. It's not exactly what I look for. However, you know, something of this sort of caliber comes on the market, do let me know. And at least then it keeps the agent in mind, thinking, yeah, that person didn't particularly like that one, but we're gonna, you know, if this one's just come to the market, show them around. You never know. If you don't really, you know, I think a lot of people do probably expect the agent just to, you know, continue hound and chase them, which is not always the case, you know, especially when you've got a load of inquiries. Mm. I think it's good to keep a regular dialogue with the agent in any area that you're looking at, and you know, certainly you can build a good rapport. And if you are a prolific buyer, then you know the chances are you're probably going to get stuff in front of you very early on. You know, once the property's gone has gone live. So yeah, it's definitely good to have a working rapport. And certainly, me and you know, we've gone back a few years, haven't we? And you know, you've bought some stuff from me, so it's good to have that, as you say, that rapport. And I think you would probably agree also on that, Rob.
A lot of people can talk the talk and then not follow through by walking the walk.
Yeah.
So you know, you see it in every facet of a property, whether someone's, you know, the man in the middle of their property sourcing. Sometimes, if they're an agent or vendor or whoever, there's so many people out there that can just, you know, jibber jabber, talk, but when it comes to actually going through with it, that's when they fall down, and that, you know, that burns more bridges than it builds. Mm. To be perfectly honest, so you know, to round that little bit up, in a summary, you basically, what you're saying is keep everything above board, keep the consistent dialogue going. Ideally, when you offer, give some justification behind it, and communicate effectively as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be too detailed, but yeah, I think having those sort of key attributes will really stand you in good stead, and hopefully, you know, it gives the agent confidence as well that you know you are a serious contender. You're not just out window shopping. You know, you are. Mm. You might not have found your right property just yet, but you know, you're definitely in the market, and hopefully the right one, you know, does show its face, and you end up, you know, buying that through that particular agent.
In terms of valuing commercial price, quite a broad question, so commercial can mean many different things. So from your experience in valuing, what do you look for from a commercial point of view? Because residential is relatively straightforward. Mm. You know, valuer will go out, they'll go around the property, they'll look at it, or, you know, dare I say it, sometimes they might drive by and go on Rightmove and have a look. So it's quite relatively straightforward from a residential point of view how you get to a valuation. Commercial is a completely different ballgame. It's done on yields and so forth. So how would you go out and value a, let's say, mixed use. Let's say you've got a commercial shop at the bottom and you've got a flat above. How do you go and value that?
Well, it's first you look at, you know, if it's both the shop and the flat are tenanted. You know, so you certainly look at how they are as covenants. So you know, your flat is going to be typically probably a stronger covenant in terms of its yield, and typically, you know, as you know, the flats are rented on a short term tenancy, so typically 6 to 12 months. But your shop, you certainly look at the yield, and also in the location. I think that's fundamentally important. So particularly if there's any sort of areas out of town, they're probably going to be higher yields, and as we both know, in Hull, that does seem to be the case in the sort of secondary tertiary areas as opposed to the city centre. So those certain factors you look at to arrive at a yield that you know you value that income on, and ultimately what an investor would look to want to achieve in that given area. So yeah, I think each case would be on its own merits, but you know, you're looking how strong the tenant and how secure that investment's going to be. You know, is the chance that the tenant's going to default? Mm-hmm. You know, particularly if it's coming up to the, you know, sort of the end of the lease, or if they're, you know, just starting out and trade doesn't look that great. You know, you obviously put these assumptions in place, but you've got to be really just look at all factors when you're applying the valuation to to investment opportunities, as that example may be.
So when you're valuing, it might be an occasion where, again, we'll just use a mixed-use unit as an example, there might be an occasion where there's not a commercial tenant or there's not a residential tenant in place. Mm. From a valuation point of view, does that affect your methodology in any way?
I suppose it's more a case of how quickly you can get that let. I mean, if you're going to be selling that with vacant possession, then how quick is that new investor going to be able to get that shop or the flat tenanted? So yeah, certainly those do factor into your overall valuation and assumption on that basis. So yeah, it does play a part, especially if it's a vacant unit as opposed to something that's already receiving an income.
What's better to be tenanted? Is it better to have the commercial aspect tenanted or the residential aspect tenanted? Or is that too broad a thing to say?
Yeah, probably too. I mean, I guess it's probably best on location, really. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, there might be something where there's actually a strong area of redevelopment. So, you know, whether that be, if say you've got some offices above a unit on the ground floor level and a lot of the areas sort of in demand for residential, then it may be better to have that vacant so that you can release some of the, you know, development value out of that. And, you know, whether it be converted to flats, then ultimately that may be seen more of a better performing investment opportunity as opposed to being being occupied and rented. So yeah, it's probably a difficult one to answer because it's so broad. It will depend on various factors in that given local area.
Location is important. That really, you know, again, says from an investor point of view, it's the same thing. If you know your area inside out, not just from a residential point of view, but you know about what streets or what areas are good to buy in, what areas are not good to buy in. Definitely from a commercial point of view as well. If you know that you're in the middle of one of the main streets, chances are your valuation, as he says, because your location's better, you might get a higher class of tenant, higher calibre of tenant, which is going to enhance the value moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
The location is crucial. Commercial surveyor, Truffle, so you've got some great ideas moving forward. What do you like to do in your spare time that's not property related?
Not property related. I think the first part of the agenda is I'm a golf enthusiast. So when I can, I know the weather's not been particularly great over the last few weeks, but when I can, I like to get on the golf course. A bit of a golf geek. I've got a passion for cars as well. Probably too much of a passion, as some people might allude to, but they're really my main hobbies and focuses out of work.
Funny you mentioned golf, because I'm not a golfer myself. I probably don't want to be in the same place when I start swinging a club, to be perfectly honest with you, but great place to find investment, surely, because normally if you're 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, you're playing golf, you're probably doing that because you've got the time.
Yeah, and I think actually golf as a business tool is very good, because you know I've heard of stories where people are just, you know, doing the business meetings on a few holes on a golf course and then just carry on for the rest of the round. And I mean, my dad he's adamant he got a job many years ago because he played golf. He just happened to in the interview just say, "Oh, you play golf," to the person interviewing, and says, "Oh yeah, I do. Do you play golf?" I said, "Yeah," and you know, said, "Oh, we could do with you someone else on the golf team." And he's absolutely adamant he got the job purely because he played golf. You know, so I think it does have its benefits. A lot of people do think it's very much an old man's sport, but yeah, from a business and networking angle, it definitely can reap some rewards.
Well, have you had any? When you're talking about going back to Truffle, you're talking about where it is now, taking it to the next level. Have you had any luck on the golf course in terms of being able to raise finances? Have these conversations even come up on the golf course?
To be honest, I've not really exploited those avenues as much as I would like to, if you have sort of getting invited to any golf events. But no, typically it's I try and keep the golf to the weekend, and you know the last thing people want to be talking about is business when they're more focusing on the actual game. So I've not fully utilised that angle yet, but hopefully I will during the course of this year, which would be ideal.
During the course of this year, good pun. Even if that wasn't
yes, that wasn't deliberate. Actually, no, I should have teed that one up earlier.
we're now turning into a complete golf pun show. Don't worry about property anymore, people. We're talking golf. We're talking the whole nine yards or such. In terms of taking Truffle to the next level, then fantastic organic growth for the last 18 months, and even before that when you were planning. So, what do you need in order to take Truffle to the next level?
The next stage will be looking to secure investment in Truffle itself. So through that, then it will at least open up more avenues, particularly on marketing as well. So, I mean, whilst we'd love to have the whole of the UK known of Truffle, and of course in various countries who are looking to invest in the UK, at the moment, it through the organic growth, there's only a small number. So investment will certainly enable us to further enhance the marketing, but by the same token as well, actually bring more agents on, not just the big names, but smaller independent agencies as well that maybe not have come across Truffle, or indeed maybe don't fully explore all property portals out there, and maybe want a more low cost alternative to the likes of Rightmove and Zoopla, and certainly we're not going to be as expensive as those big names, but equally we want to make sure that the investment does get a larger increase in the brand awareness, which is fundamentally important going into this year and of course into the future years ahead, because ultimately we want investors, developers thinking, if I'm going to move house, I'd still use Rightmove and Zoopla, but if I'm going to invest or develop, I'll go straight to Truffle and hopefully find my next opportunity there. And that's really where we'll be able to deliver the message through effective marketing.
From a couple of agents that I know, the feedback I'm getting through the grapevine as such is they're starting to get hacked off with Rightmove increasing prices above and beyond inflation, I should add, every single year. In terms of Truffle's pricing structure, is that do you have a set fee? If I was an agent, do you have a set fee? Do you on a percentage basis? How does that side work?
I suppose it's like Rightmove as an example. I mean, they charge on average £922 per month per branch, which is an astonishing amount, really. And obviously,
is that including VAT or is that plus VAT?
I'm not sure actually. I think that's from their financial account, certainly in 2017. But regardless, that is an astonishing amount per month, and of course that's probably why a lot of people do get hacked off with the prices, because it's almost like Rightmove can, and because everyone uses Rightmove. We've not got any sort of clear pricing structure in mind. I think it will be on an individual basis. There's going to be some agents that have vast amounts of branches in any given area, and you're going to have those that maybe have one, possibly two branches. So again, there wouldn't be sort of no one pricing structure that fits all. It very much will be tailored to obviously to the. There's going to be some agents that maybe dispose two or three properties a year, and there's going to be of investment or development stock, and there's going to be agents that will actively get involved in selling investment development stuff. So we just got a company in Edinburgh signed up a couple of weeks ago that they're purely just dealing the main niche is retail investments. So that's what they do, that's their bread and butter. And of course there is agents out there that will specify in these areas, and hopefully they will see the greatest benefit, because that is their key target market, is the investment and possibly development sector as well.
That's absolutely fantastic. All moving in the right direction.
Yeah, all been well. So.
Right, sure. I don't doubt it one bit from what I've seen so far, and from knowing you as I know you, I'm sure it's going to be it's just going to keep improving, go from strength to strength to strength, to be perfectly honest. Few quick fire questions. We like to ask some quick fire questions.
Yeah, of course.
Whether it's Matt that's interviewing, or whether it's myself that's interviewing. What's your favourite golf course to play on?
Oh, to play on. There's a golf course in North Lincolnshire, Forest Pines. That is a fantastic golf course. That's probably the best I've played on. Probably the best in the world, I'd have to say, is Augusta in Georgia, where they host the Masters.
You've actually played on?
I'd love to play Augusta. But, no, the best course I've played on is Forest Pines.
But apart from that, it would be Augusta.
If I could get a ticket to play there, that'd be a dream come true.
Favourite car?
Favourite car? There's loads, that's a problem. Car enthusiast. I'd probably say, not many people maybe know the brand, Koenigsegg in Sweden. They make hypercars. They've got a car called the Agera RS, and that's got a land speed record for a production car, 275 mile an hour or something like that, or 278, you know. That itself is, you know, an astonishing achievement. So I'd probably say that's my favourite car, but I've got loads. I could probably talk all day on different cars and different models.
Get Matt to interview you on that one. We can have a separate podcast.
Why not?
Separate podcast on cars. That's his forte as well. He loves that stuff. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
It's a tough one, that. I think it's probably a general, maybe applies to a lot of people. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I think I really, you know, look at that. And I think, especially in our, you know, world we live in today, particularly like with online scammers and, you know, you've got to have your wits about you. I think you probably, you could say that in the same with the property game as well. If you see something that, you know, is a cracking price, but you don't know the full ins and outs, then it's probably best just to step back and think, you know, look at that first before sort of jumping in. I think it's probably generic advice to a lot of people, I guess. So.
Still good advice nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the worst piece of advice that you've ever been given?
That is a tough one, actually. Just trying to think where maybe it's had the monetary deficit on me, but I really can't. Maybe going back to a golf term, probably where someone said, use that club on a hole, and then it's caused you to have a nightmare. And maybe they're trying to tamper your game so that you don't end up beating them. So. Yeah, no, that's a tough one, actually. I don't think I've really had any bad advice that really has had a detrimental impact on me as a, you know, as a person or in my financial situation.
Well, I can just imagine someone trying to advise you to use a 9-iron to get out of a bunker.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you can clearly tell they're going to out to beat you any way they can.
In the last 3 years, with everything that's gone on, what belief, habit or behaviour has had the most positive impact on your life?
I suppose probably believing in yourself and believing that, you know, you can do something where maybe others can't sort of see that or really understand where you're thinking. I think that's probably, you know, quite important, certainly in the early days of trying to get the idea Truffle off the ground, because a lot of people couldn't see the idea. Why creating this sort of portal? And I think you've just got to keep believing in yourself and, you know, seeing that vision. Think, yeah, I can, you know, disregarding what the naysayers may be saying, that the fact that you keep on that path and believe that you can do that. And I think that's fundamentally been a key to me, you know, to sort of getting Truffle live and growing it to, you know, to the day that we're talking about it. So, yeah, I think that's probably the best thing I can sort of think, really, in the last 3 years.
Solid.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely solid, because half the time the fight's in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what one piece of advice would you give to someone that's in limbo about making a decision?
I'd probably say go with your gut feeling, you know, your first instinct. I mean, certainly if you've got maybe, you know, you're in an hour and other two or three options, you know, what is the first thing that's spring to mind is certainly, you know, look at it. It might not be the right decision, but, you know, you probably learn from that as well. And certainly where I have maybe decisions where I think, yeah, my gut feeling is down that route, and that's, you know, probably not just in your work life, but actually, you know, personal as well. And I think just going with your gut feeling, believing what you think is right. It might not be right, but, you know, we learn from it, don't we? If it's the wrong option. So yeah, I think go with your gut and believe in your first instinct.
Well, this has been really insightful and fantastic. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. It's been great. If people want to get hold of you to speak to you about Truffle and social medias, feel free. How do people go about getting in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got LinkedIn, which is Jonathan Barker. So yeah, feel free to connect and message on there. As I say, we've got the Twitter. So again, your direct message on there. Same with through the LinkedIn and Facebook pages as well. Again, my email is jonathan.barker@truffle.co.uk. If anyone felt that they needed to email following this podcast, it'd be great to hear from people anyway. Certainly, if there's any prospective agents out there that maybe not come across it, the portal before and want to learn more details, that's fantastic. But equally to, you know, those people that are starting to use the website and can see the benefits, it'd be great to get some fantastic feedback as well from your listeners.
Many different ways to spell Jonathan, so can you mind just spelling that out so people make sure they're connected with the right Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's Jonathan Barker, Barker.
And that's on LinkedIn, and then the other ones like Twitter and so forth, is that Jonathan Barker?
Twitter, I was just saying Truffle, you know, the Truffle Twitter account. So and you've got the LinkedIn Truffle pages as well as a Facebook Truffle page as well. So, you know, if they want to just connect through that way, I'll be able to get a response to those people. But yeah, by the same token, if they want to email me directly as well, then that's absolutely no problem as well.
And spell out the email address just so people know.
Jonathan, jonathan@truffle.co.uk.
That's TRUFFULL.
You didn't think you were having a spelling test today, did you?
No, but it's important that we get people to the right place, and it's sort of better for you if people,
whether
people are interested in that they're, you know, not don't end up buying food products that they
yeah, up. Absolutely, yeah, mushrooms or anything like that, yeah.
Jonathan, thank you very much. It's been an absolute joy and a pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, it's been a pleasure being on here. And as I say, it's been enjoyable listening to your podcast today as well. So, you and Matt are doing a great job. And thank you very much for the time speaking today. It's been great.
Likewise. Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks.